So we just began yesterday, Rav Chista's answer. Oh, good to see you, Rav Nachum. We were trying to deal with the contradiction between the Mishnah in the beginning of our Perek and then another Mishnah that the Gemara brought right at the top of the Omid. Let's remind ourselves. Our Mishnah told us that Dinei Momonos can be Choyza. To be reversed. The mistake was made, it could be reversed. And yet the Mishnah that the Gemara brought seemed to say the opposite, that if you made the guilty guy innocent or you made the innocent guy guilty, ma she osa osui, what they did, they did. What they did, they did. And it cannot be overturned. So that was the big contradiction. So we had all types of tirutzim. Maybe one's a mumcha, one's not a mumcha. Maybe one's a tos in Shikul Hadas, one's a tos in Dvar Mishnah, which we discussed at length. So Rav Chista now made a new differentiation, a brand new teretz, which we began with yesterday, and that was, did the Dayan literally extract the money from the person's pocket and give it to the other fellow, or did he just tell him to do so? So let's have a look at the Gemara. It's on the seventh wide line, first word on the line, ovadato. Rav Chista Oma, kan shenotal v'nosan biyad, and kan sheloi notal v'nosan biyad. In one place is talking about he took it and he gave it to the other guy in his hand. So he literally took the money out of his pocket. He said to Reuven, you're chayev, and he took the money out of Reuven's pocket and he gave it to Shimon. That's one case. And the other case is that he paskened that you're chayev, but he didn't literally extract the money and forcibly hand it over to the other party. Look at Rashi. Rashi is towards the end of the narrow lines. Says Rashi, Rav Chista, Mahadar Le'el. Rav Chista is going back to the top of the Omad, L'shinuye, in order to answer, to reconcile, Masnisa, the Mishnah that was brought, that said, Don Es Hadin. If you look at the second line of the Gemara, right at the top of the Omad, it says, Don es adin, zikra es achayv, etc., etc. So after a lengthy discussion about tol bidvar mishnah, etc., etc., Rav Chista has now gone back to the very original question to try and reconcile why does it say in our mishnah that dinei momonos can be retracted, and in the other mishnah it says it can't. Masha osa osu, says Rashi, if nosav nosan biyad, if he actually took the money and gave it forcibly to the other fellow, then Masha Osa Osu, even if it was mistaken, cannot be retracted. But if Loi Nosam V'Nosam Biyad, rather, Elot Siva LeBaal Din, rather he instructed the Baal Din to do so. V'Hu Oise Me'atzmoi, and now the defendant did so by himself, not that the Dayan literally forced him to do it, he just instructed him. So then, machzir hamomoin. So then, if a mistake was made, it's got to be given back. Mizeh shekibloi, lezeh shenosnoi. From the one who received it, it's got to give it back to the one who gave it, and we begin the whole Din Torah all over again. Nosa v'nosan hu atzmoi, the Dayan himself, gova mizeh, he claimed it from one, the nosan lezeh. Now, Rabbi Yosef, do they explain in your Gemara at this stage, why does that make a difference? Why in the case when the Dayan forcibly handed the money over, is the halacha that masha osa osa, it cannot be overturned? And if, however, he instructed him to give it, then if a mistake was made, it can be returned. Do they explain the difference?
Well, in the first note, they say, The judge's personal implementation of its verdict strengthens it to the degree that it can no longer be reversed.
Okay.
But they had a previous note in which, a very difficult one, in which they make a difference between the verdict itself, the effect of the verdict itself, the damage that results from the non-verdict, though it has been caused by the judge.
That was the previous Gemara. Yeah, that was the previous Gemara, whether that's called direct damage or not. Yeah, correct.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it seems to be that when the Dayan actually forcibly extracts the money from Reuven and gives it to Shimon, as Rabbi Yosef said, that strengthens, as it were, the toikef. That strengthens the din, such that it cannot be overturned, even in the event it turns out to be a mistake. The Dayan might have to pay back out of his own back pocket, but he would don't overturn the judgment. Whereas where he merely instructed Reuven to pay Shimon, and Shimon then did so willingly, Reuven then did so willingly to Shimon, so then in the event it turns out to be a mistake, well then the money has to be returned. So that's a new way of reconciling the two Mishnayos. Now, before we go any further, look once again right at the top of the Amud, second line, top of the Amud. Look at the exact Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah there said, Vraminu, Don Es HaDin, the Dayan judged the Din. And what did he do? Ziko Es HaChayev, Chayev Es HaZakai. He made innocent the guilty one, or he made guilty the innocent one. So too, he was metame the Torah, metame the Tomei, etc., etc. And what did it say? Ma she'osa osui. Whatever he paskened has been done, it cannot be overturned. He now has to take personal responsibility. V'yashalemi beisoi. He's got to pay from his own house, meaning from his own wallet. We have now just explained that what is that case? That case, the reason why the din cannot be overturned is because the Dayan forcibly extracted the money from Reuven, didn't just tell him to pay, he literally grabbed his wallet, took $100 out of it, and gave it to Shimon. And in that case, because he strengthened the din, it cannot possibly be overturned. That's what we're being taught. Now go back down to the bottom of the Amud where we're up to. Says the Gemara. Remember that the Mishnah spoke about two cases. He made guilty the innocent one, or he made innocent the guilty one. So he either made the innocent man guilty or the guilty man innocent. Now, which of those two cases does it make sense to say that he forcibly extracted the money and made him pay? Well, obviously, that makes sense if you're talking about somebody who's essentially innocent and the Dayan forced him now to pay the money. Says the Gemara, Bishloime Chayev Es HaZakai. Bishloime, in that case where you said that he made the innocent man guilty. So yes, I understand what we're talking about. Kagoin Shenotal V'nosan Biyad. Like you said, he went up to the innocent guy and he paskened that he's guilty, which turned out to be mistaken. And he extracted the wallet from the innocent fellow, took $100 out of it and gave it to Shimon. That makes good sense. And that's what we meant, that because you've solidified the din by actually carrying out your psak, by extracting the money and giving it to the other, that way it cannot be reversed. So that particular case makes sense. But what about the other direction? Says the Gemara, Elo, Ziko es hachayav, heichi mishkachas lo. In the case when he made the chayav guy innocent. And we said in the Brice, we said in that Mishnah, that there's two separate cases. Either he made the innocent guilty, or he made the guilty innocent, and ma she'osa osu. What was done was done. So what is the case? What is the case when he made the guilty man innocent? What did he proactively do? Remember, what is the klal of Rav Chista, Rabbi say? Rav Chista said that if he proactively carried through the psak forcibly, then that cannot be overturned. Well, how do you forcibly carry through a psak of innocent? You can forcibly carry through a psak of guilty. That means the fellow was essentially innocent. The dayan made a mistake and he told the innocent person, here, I'm going to drag the wallet out of your pocket and give it to the other guy. So he literally is carrying out his psak forcibly, and he made the innocent man guilty. And that's why we say that cannot be overturned. But what is the case in the other way around? When you make the guilty man innocent, so how do you proactively, forcibly carry through a psak and make him innocent? What's the case? What does it always mean to make a guilty man innocent? What does it mean, innocent? Innocent means you are not chayev to pay. That's what it means. So if it's you are not chayev to pay, how can you talk about a case where he forcibly carried through the psak of you are not chayev to pay? You can only forcibly carry through a psak that you are chayev to pay by extracting the money. Have a look at Rashi, the beginning of the first very wide line, Bishloima. Zok lehilge Rashi. Bishloima chayev es hazakai. Shapir motzi leukmi. Over there we can establish and make sense, quote unquote, masha osa osui. Those three words, masha osa osui, that which was done and it cannot be overturned, it makes sense. Kedektoni bo, as stated, we explained, shenotal min hazakai. He took from the innocent man, mamish miyodoi, literally grabbed the money out of his hand. The poor fellow was actually innocent. The dayon made a mistake. But nonetheless, the dayon grabbed the money out of his hand, shaloi kedin, meaning mistaken, it was not al pidin. V'nosan l'teiveya, and he gave it to the other party, the claimer. Okay, so the scenario makes sense. Really, Ruvain was innocent. The dayan, for some reason, mistakenly declared him guilty, but not only declared him guilty, actually grabbed his wallet out of his pocket, out of Ruvain's pocket, and gave it to Shimon. So because he now concretized the psak, he didn't just verbally issue the psak. He actually carried it through and concretized it. That cannot be overturned. Fine. That scenario, I understand. Says Rashi in the other way around. Elo ziko es achayov. What about the other case? When he made the chayov, he made him innocent. What does it mean, made innocent? Al korchoch, you have to say, says Rashi, that loy shayech haylishna. You can only possibly explain this loshen of making somebody innocent, elo b'mezake es hanitva. When you made the fellow who was claimed against, you made him innocent, shehoyo chayev l'shalem, essentially he was chayev, the mistake was made, v'omar loy potur ato, and he mistakenly paskin that you're innocent. That's how you make a guilty man innocent. De'ein loshen zakai. This word zakai can only possibly make sense. Elo loshen noki v'potur. Totally clean and innocent. And if that's the case, how do you concretize in a physical way a psak of innocent? Reb Nachum, you with me? The question makes sense?
Yeah.
I'm just, did money change hands and now the judge is verbally saying undo it?
No money was changed hands. That's the Gemara's kasha. When you declare somebody innocent, then no action was taken.
So when was he declared chayev?
No, that's there's two different cases. There's one case, that's the Gemara's kasha. There's one case in the Mishnah when the guilty man was declared chayev, the innocent man was declared chayev, and there's another case when the guilty man was declared innocent. And how did the Mishnah conclude? By saying, Masha osa osui, whatever's been done has been done. Why? And the Rav Chista is explaining, because the Dayan actually carried out in a forcibly way, he concretized the psak by carrying through the psak. And that's the Gemara's question. That only makes sense in scenario number one, but not in scenario number two. Because in scenario number one, when you made the innocent guy chayev, that means really he should not have to pay. But the Dayan made a mistake and says, Ruvain, you owe $100 to Shimon. And in fact, the Dayan, not just Paskin, that way he actually carried it through. And he grabbed Ruvain's wallet and he gave it to Shimon. Okay, so because he's concretized the psak, that can't be overturned. So that scenario makes sense. But in the reverse case, how does it make sense? When he made the guilty man innocent, so what did he tell Ruvain? You are exempt from paying. Okay, very good. It turns out it was a mistake. But does it make sense to talk about that psak being concretized? How do you concretize a psak of you don't have to pay? Reb Nochum, you're still looking puzzled. Take off the mute.
I'm having trouble when we say he was guilty.
Yeah.
And now the judge is making him innocent.
By mistake.
So that's the original psak is the judge said he's guilty.
Again. We're talking about a Dayan who made a mistake. It turns out the next day he realized that what I did yesterday was a mistake.
So the day before the mistake was that he said he's guilty.
That's one case, or he made him innocent.
I'm talking about the second case. The second case.
No, that was the first case.
So the second case.
The first case was he said to Ruvain, you are guilty. Second case is he said to Ruvain, you are innocent. And the next day, he realized that was a mistake.
Okay.
In both of those cases. So what did the Braisa say? What did the Mishnah say? I'm sorry, it can't be overturned. Why not? As Rav Chista explained, because the psak was actually carried through forcibly. So I understand, in case number one, when he declared Ruvain innocent, when he declared him guilty, so I understand the scenario. I understand what that means, that the psak was carried through. How do you carry through a psak of guilty? By grabbing his wallet and making him pay. But how do you carry through forcibly a psak of innocent? Innocent means you do not need to pay. So how can that be carried through forcibly? How can you say the next day when you realize you made a mistake, it was carried through forcibly, and therefore it cannot be overturned. Well, what do you mean carry through forcibly? All he said was, you don't have to pay. So that's a negative, that's not a positive. If I tell you, you do not need to do something, you can hardly talk about carrying through that sack forcibly. Yeah, Reb Larry, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. Is there an inyan perhaps that in the second case where he's innocent forcibly, he has to force the accuser of saying mekabel, potter. In other words, in the first case where he's chayev, he grabs the money, he's forcibly telling him he got to pay.
Okay, so
and in the second case,
so let's
forcibly...
Let's carry on. Let's see the Gemara. So again, the Gemara might well say this. So again, Bishloime says the Gemara on the seventh last line. Bishloime chayev es azakai. In the case of scenario number one, when he made the innocent man guilty. So then I understand. Kagoin shenotal v'nosan biyad. How did he carry through this sack of guilty when he literally took it from Ruvain and gave it to Shimon? Fine, that I understand. Elo, but, quote unquote, ziko esachayev. When he made the guilty man innocent, heichi mishkachas lo. If he says to him, you are innocent, you are potter, well, that by definition is something that was not carried out. Says Rashi, Rabbi Yosef, do they explain in your Gemara that when the Gemara says "Da Omar Le Potter Ato," that in fact was the answer, or that's part of the question?
Obviously, it's where he declares to the liable party, "You are not obligated to pay." Mm-hmm. But in that case, he didn't take the money with his hand.
Right. That's all part of the question. So therefore, the Gemara is explaining, because he declared the guilty man innocent and said, "You are Potter." Well, if you paskin, you are Potter, by definition, what are you saying? That you do not have to pay. So how can you talk about forcibly enacting, concretizing a psak of you do not have to pay? Says the Gemara. Chiddush. Very big chiddush. Kiven de Omar Potter ato. Because he's declared that you are exempt from paying, which means that the money sitting in your pocket should remain there. K'moy shenotal v'nosan b'yod domi. That is as if it was forcibly enforced. The very fact that I said that the money that's sitting in your pocket shall remain there. Look at Rashi. Kiven de Omar le Potter ato, v'zeh hoya muchsuk, and he was in fact holding the money, v'ikvuhu alpiv, and he now maintains he's able to withhold that money as a result of the Dayan's psak, k'mi shenosan b'yad domi. That is as if, although there was no physical action, it was just maintaining the money, not transferring the money. But even that maintaining of the money is considered as if the Dayan forcibly paskened and forcibly carried through the psak. So now we have to press pause. It turns out that we now have pshat in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah brought at the top of the Amud is talking about where the Dayan forcibly carried through the psak. How did he forcibly carry through the psak? What he did was he either made him pay money forcibly, or he maintained the money in his back pocket. That's also considered as if he forcibly insured his psak. Okay. Now we have to go back and complete the circle. So what about our original Mishnah? Our original Mishnah that talks about what? The original Mishnah said that Dine Momonos can be reversed. And Rav Chista explained, what does that mean, it can be reversed? In other words, nothing was carried through forcibly. So now we're in a bit of trouble. Says the Gemara, Elo Masnis in Dektoni. So what about the Mishnah, our original Mishnah that said, quote unquote, Dine Momonos Machzirin, Bein Lizchus, Bein Lechoivo. That Dine Momonos can be overturned, whether in direction of Zechus and Chayva. And Rav Chista explained that, talking about whether Psak was not pushed through forcibly. But I thought you just told me that when you declare somebody innocent, that is called maintaining the money in his pocket is considered forcibly carried through the Psak. So how do you have a case of not forcibly? Says the Gemara, Bishloimel Zechus Mishkach Aslo. I understand the case of innocent, that what the omale meikara chayev ato. In the beginning, he told him, you are chayev. So he made the innocent man guilty. But v'loy notal v'loy nosam b'yad. But he didn't extract the money forcibly. There's still another stage that needs to happen. What is the next stage that still needs to happen? He needs to take the money out of his pocket and pay. And as long as that didn't happen, so therefore that can still be reversed and you can now declare him innocent after all. That makes perfect sense. The question is, however, what about the other way around? says the Gemara, Elo l'chayva. In a case when you want to reassess, you initially made him innocent. You now want to reverse that and make him guilty. How do you find that case? Because he initially said that you're exempt from paying. I'm sorry to tell you, if you tell somebody you're exempt from paying, didn't we just say a second ago, v'ha'omra, we said that kiven da'omale pata'ato, k'moy sh'notal v'nosan b'yodoy domi. If you tell somebody that you are exempt from paying, meaning the money maintained in your back pocket, that's as is, as if the psak was forcibly concretized. Let's explain this, Rabbeisai, a little bit more in case anybody is not clear. When the dayan says to somebody, you are mukhuyev to pay. You are mukhuyev to pay. Do we all agree that that is not the end of the story? There is still another stage. What is the next stage? The actual transfer of the money. It's no point saying you are chayev to pay. You've actually now got to now transfer the money. So in the case where the dayan himself not only paskin that you're chayev, but he actually also forcibly extracted the money, well, then there's no further stage. Nothing more needs to be done. It's game over. You've paskin the halacha, you've moved the money across, it's all over. That psak cannot be overturned. It's all over. If, however, he says you're chayev to pay, but the money has not been transferred yet, well, then the psak is not all over and it could be reversed. However, in the opposite scenario, where the dayan said that you are potter from paying, that means the $100 in your pocket is going nowhere, do we all agree that there's no further stage anymore? There's nothing more that needs to happen. Because the dayan has paskin that the money in your pocket stays in your pocket. That is game over. That is game over. And that is the rule of Rav Chisda. Whenever it's game over, whenever the psak is finished, it cannot be reversed. So therefore, back into our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that you can always reverse the din. And what did we say that's talking about? That's talking about that nothing was forcibly carried through. Okay, that makes good sense if the dayan said you're chayev to pay and he hasn't yet paid. So it's not game over, so it could be reversed. But what about in the opposite case? In the case where the dayan said you're exempt from paying, didn't we just say that when the dayan says you're exempt from paying, it's game over? There's nothing more that needs to be done, and that cannot be reversed. So why is the Mishnah saying that it can be reversed? That's the Gemara's kasha.
Rebbe?
Yes.
I'm just going to say what I said again. Maybe the answer is it's not game over until the other guy accepts the psak.
Okay, the Gemara doesn't say that. Yeah, okay, so it's a rather lengthy teretz, Mr. Hashem, we'll see you tomorrow. So we're leaving off with the kasha, Rabbi Yisai. What did the Mishnah mean when it said that if somebody was made innocent, it could be reversed? Once you've made him innocent, it's game over. There's nothing more to do. And didn't Rav Chisda teach us the rule that once the dayan paskin halacha and it's game over, well, then it's game over. It cannot be reversed. So why does the Mishnah say that you can always reverse the halacha? Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, that we'll see tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.
There's no such halacha in Beis Din that the other guy has to accept the psak in order for it to be finished. He doesn't have to say, I agree with Potter, I'm a makabel. Once the Beis Din decides, that's it. He doesn't have to accept anything. Right.
By initially signing that shtar boirerus, which we once spoke about recently, that you've declared that whatever the Beis Din paskened, I'm going with it, it's foot, it's good, I'm accepting it, so therefore I don't need to say, I do accept it, I don't accept it, too bad, it's enforced. But we'll see you tomorrow what the Gemara answers, Mr. Shah.